This is Mr. Olympia, Brandon Curry, and you're watching Think Big Bodybuilding Media.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Think Big Bodybuilding Media. I'm Scott McNally, and today we're back on the road to North Americans, and this time we are with heavyweight Evan Rivoire. This will be Evan's first attempt at a national level show, so I'm excited to speak to him today and get his perspectives. The whole goal for this whole program is to give an opportunity for us to meet a different athlete each week that is getting ready to compete at NPC North Americans. Basically, I want to just try to build some more excitement for the contest. So if you guys enjoy this stuff, then do me a favor. You can help by hitting the like button, telling your friends. And hey, if you haven't subscribed yet, we have several other podcasts that come out each week featuring guys like Dusty Henshaw, Lee Priest, and a bunch of other cool stuff. Guys, all of our programming is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. You can use our code ADVICES for some additional savings on high quality supplements from a company that you can trust. And we're also brought to you by GetAzoth.com, one of the best nootropic blends that are available on the market. We've got links for all that stuff and codes down below. All right, guys, let's get to Evan. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to our road to North Americans. And today I am with heavyweight Evan Rivoire. Brother, thanks for joining me, man. This is really cool.
Thanks.
This is going to be your first national
show. Thanks for having me, man. Yes, it is, man. Yes, it is.
I'm taken back by that. How is this even possible? Like, how long have you been competing for?
All out. I started in 2012. I've had some setbacks along the way, man. I mean, I got about 4 years in, had a really nasty pec tear, and it was fully separated from the tendon. And that actually put me back, like, I'd say probably about an entire year, man. It's pretty tough. I mean, I'm just now coming back from it at this point where it doesn't give me any problems anymore.
Okay. So. Do you feel like I'm looking at your pictures now. It's not something I noticed before. Now that you mention it, I can see it in the one of your most muscular shots. I mean, but really, man, I feel like that's something you're – everything else is put together. I feel like that's something you're going to be able to hide, you know? You know, people today, they just think they tear a muscle. And if you haven't competed before, people are like, oh, man, you're done. But in reality, man, I feel like there's nothing stopping you still here.
No, man, I think if you have a good doctor that does the surgery right, man, and can properly reattach it where you get your functionality back, man, I don't really see why that would ever be a reason to hold somebody back from doing what they want to do, you know?
Yeah.
But it's weird you say that, because, like, a lot of people will say, man, I didn't even notice that when I say something about it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then you can see it and it stands out, right? But I'm going to do my best. I've gotten to a point now with my posing where I just do my best to hide it. It's kind of hard to see anyway.
Yeah, so, that makes total sense, man. Yeah. So what are you weighing right now? Because you look like you're already in really good shape.
I was 232 when I did my check-in picks this morning for my coach, man.
Okay.
So
who's your coach?
His name's Turner Riddle.
Oh, Turner Riddle, right on, man. How long have you been working with him
for? Good buddy of mine, man. We've been working together, about 2.5, almost 3 years, man.
Okay, no kidding, man.
We did our first competition season together back in 2018. So,
all right.
Yep. Been together ever since.
I still can't imagine.
It's not broke, don't fix it, right?
How have you not been on a national stage? I still don't get it. So you said 2012 is when you started. What weight class were you in back then?
I was a middleweight, man. I was
No kidding.
Yeah, I did the Flex Lewis Classic, which is a huge show down here, and competed as a novice. I actually won the overall as a novice at that show. And I needed to be in a little bit better shape, so I dieted a little harder to do the Tennessee State Show later that year.
Okay.
I actually got down to a lightweight, man.
No kidding.
Like 266 pounds, yeah.
So
legitimately, it's been a long, long road, man.
Lightweight in 2012 to heavyweight in 2020 now. That is a fantastic road, man. You know, listen, Evan, you've made, from what you're telling me, you've made a lot of progress in just the last year or so. What's the difference maker been?
I'm going to have to pin it on the one thing that everybody always says, and it's like nobody ever wants to believe it, but for me, it's got to be consistency, man. And I mean, when I say that, I mean consistency in the off season. Like, I feel like I've been able to progress a lot more by pushing the food, staying consistent with training, having a lot more rest days. I mean, nobody ever wants to take rest days, let your body rest. Like, being consistent. And I remember up until this last year, man, I would train. I was the kind of guy that would train like 6 on, 1 off, or maybe 5 off, 5 on, and take the weekend off. Like we do, I train 2 on, 1 off right now, man.
Okay.
I
mean, okay.
That's my training split, and I rest, and I never feel like I'm not able to push the way I need to in the gym.
Yeah.
I feel like I grow better, you know.
On 2 on, 1 off, what's your split look like then?
It kind of rotates, man. It's like it'll be something like chest back off, quad shoulders off, arms hamstrings off, something like that, right?
Okay.
It puts me on a different day every week. I mean, you know, some people have like a set schedule where they're like Monday's chest or Tuesday's back. Like it rotates every single week.
Yeah.
But I just roll with it, and I'll tell you what, man, if I train like 4 or 5 days in a row,
yeah,
I'm like, I think to myself, I'm like, man, I don't know how I ever used to do this. Like, you know, when you're rested, you're able to go in there and train really super hard. And then that second day, man, the third day, you're like, I need this rest day.
Yeah. You know? I know what you mean. So in the
nobody
past,
ever wants to rest.
When you were doing like 6 days straight, was that like a fixed plan then, where like every Monday was chest day? Was that an adjustment for you? Because for me, it was an adjustment. Like Saturday used to always be legs for me, and now it rotates, and it threw me at first.
To be honest with you, man, it was really, really hard for me. Like, I didn't even like the idea of doing the 2 on, 1 off, to be honest with you. Like, and the only thing that actually spurred me to do it was I was going into off season last year. I was okay with, you know, you come out of a show and like you're beat up and you're worn out, your body needs to recover and you're tired. Like, you're okay with taking some days off.
Sure. Yeah.
I was okay with it, man. Like, if I had been in prep and someone said, all right, look, like Turner said, I want you to do 2 on, 1 off, I'd be like, there's no way, man. I'm not going to be able to get in shape and do what I've got to do doing 4 or 5 days a week at the gym, you know?
Yeah.
But I started to do it, and after 6 months, man, I feel like my physique totally changed.
No kidding.
You know? I have a hard time putting weight on, man. It made it way easier to put weight on, way easier to push the food, you know?
Well, you started out as a middleweight, dialed down to a lightweight even, so I can imagine. What did you weigh, like, what walking around before you even got into lifting? Like, what was your base at?
Out of high school, man, I was somewhere around 180 pounds.
Okay.
And that wasn't like I was never like a lean body, but I wasn't out of shape either.
Yeah.
I was already into the weightlifting stuff back then, but I was about 180 pounds.
Okay. And how tall are you?
I'm 5'8".
5'8". Okay. I got to ask you, like, what's your training like? What kind of training do you do? What do you subscribe to? What's worked?
I don't really subscribe to like a specific style of training.
Okay.
If I depended on being similar to something, I would say that we do like something similar to like a progressive overload.
Yeah.
But with that being said, we're always trying to put more load on the muscle. We're always trying to go a little bit heavier, but I'm not going to sacrifice form or execution just to put more weight on the bar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we also mix it up, man. I do a lot of that. We also push a lot of volume towards the end of the workout, driving blood, doing a lot of drop sets, lots of supersets.
Okay.
But we normally have a couple big exercises, like our big movements in the beginning. We're just doing build-up sets to like an all-out failure set where it's the heaviest thing I could pick up and move in good form for reps, you know.
Okay.
So that seems to be what's worked for me the last couple of years doing that type of training.
Right on, man. So. And I imagine too, you know, that I feel like what you're talking about, keeping the form good, you can go heavy without
without getting hurt? I imagine you've kind of, you've learned lessons now, assuming, you know, having gotten hurt in the past and that you're being safer now. But at the same time, man, I imagine you're pushing some weight. What are some of your stronger exercises? Like, what are like the things you really enjoy doing?
Legs, man, all day. I like to think I'm pretty strong on legs. One of my favorite things to do is hacks, man. I mean, I don't know if there's a day where I train quads where I don't get on the hack squat.
Really?
You know, there's days where if I'm not, even on a day if I'm tired, I'm trying to put 8 plates on that bad boy. I mean, on a good day, I'm going to try to put 9 or 10 on there. But, okay. Wow. You know, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it's gotten to be with everything with my training. I try to put not a big negative, but I put a negative on all my movements because when I tore the pec, that was something I never did, man. It was just picking up the bar. I was on a flat bench and just moving the weight.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I actually control the weight coming down and get a good feel for it before I, you know, jump into it. So
do you feel like that's helped with your development too, focusing on those negatives?
I think so, man. I think it's made a huge difference on my pressing, man. I think I'm actually a stronger presser on shoulders than I am on chest, man.
Really?
To be honest with
you.
No
kidding.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I've done, right before we started dieting, I've kind of lightened the load a little bit just for the sake of being safe, done a little bit more stuff on the Smith machine, but I was overhead pressing, you know, 315 for 8 to 10 reps on a military barbell.
No kidding, man.
You know, and I could do that on a flat too, but it's just to be able to do it overhead, man, it's,
yeah,
it wasn't as hard as it was to get on just a straight flat bench and do it, you know?
Yeah, no kidding, man. How long have you been dieting for this show for?
We started dieting about 16 weeks out, man. Okay. We're, what, 10 weeks out now?
Okay.
So, I mean, I started cleaning stuff up probably about the 20-week mark, but we hadn't really implemented any cardio or, you know, pulled anything in too tight. I just wasn't going out and having, you know, the burgers and stuff as often.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Those great, yeah, the great Tennessee pancakes that we were talking about before
the
show.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. No more stacks of pancakes, man. You know?
So, I mean, you must have started out pretty lean then to begin with, because it, you know, you're in, you know, pretty good shape now. Like you said, what did you say you have left? You feel like maybe you were saying like lower body hamstrings a little bit, and that's about all.
Yeah,
yeah. At this point,
for me, man, my glutes are always the last thing to come in. I think that's probably the norm for most people.
Sure.
But then there's the rare occasion where you see guys who are, they still got something hanging off their stomach and their lower back, but they've got striated glutes. You know,
yeah.
I'm not that guy. You know. But, yeah, I'd say hamstrings and glutes are about the only thing left to come in, and then just get a little tighter everywhere else, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's got to be a comfortable place to be, because we're – how far are we? Is this 10 weeks this weekend?
10 weeks this weekend, or I guess really the show starts, what, midway through the week, and then it rolls towards the weekend. So, yeah, 10 weeks out.
Okay, yeah.
So
that's a great place to be, man. I imagine then you're not really probably doing a ton of cardio either. You said you've got it in.
No.
Now, but
I think the biggest thing, Scott, is it has to do with the off season, man. This has been one of my – it has been my best off season because, you know, even though we pushed the food high, I stayed in decent shape, and I've always been one to kind of get a little out of shape in the off season.
Really?
You know?
Okay.
So I kept it relatively tight, man. I haven't had to suffer yet. I know I'm going to, but
yeah.
I haven't had to suffer too bad yet. I mean, I'm doing 30 minutes cardio about 5 days a week right now.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. That's great, man. That's got to be a fantastic, I feel like the less stress you can have, you know, going in, the better off you are. You know, how do you feel about, I mean, have you ever, let me ask you this. Have you ever been to a national show before?
I haven't, man. And I've been to a bunch of pro shows, but I've never been to a national show, man.
Oh, man, this is going to be exciting.
I have no idea what to expect, man. I'm excited, you know.
Yeah. Where are you trying
I'm
to
kind of just go in?
Where are you keeping your expectations at? Like, and it's kind of a deeper question, but like what would be a good showing for you here? What do you think would be a success? Obviously winning would be a success, but
well, that's what I was going to say. I think deep down inside, we all are going through this and working hard every day to want to show up and win. But only one guy's going to win, you know what I mean, for each class. So that's not always the case. But I've got to set my heart, man. I if nothing else, I want to be in that top five or that first call out.
Okay.
Like, yeah. And I'm going to do everything I possibly can from this day till that show to make sure that that happens, you know.
Oh, yeah,
I don't really know what will happen because it's like you said, I've never gotten up there, man. And some of the guys that are doing it are, it's funny, they're guys that I've seen doing these shows for the last 4 or 5 years and constantly placing top five. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see how I stack up against these guys because I remember watching these guys over the last 4 or 5 years because I watch and keep up with them. Even though I've never been to a national show, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when the show's on, you know all the guys that are at the shows, you know, if you're keeping up with whatever show it is. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be exciting, man. I think that you'll be we can officially call you a wild card then.
Yeah, I'll take it, man. Yeah.
So
I'm nervous, but I'm really excited, man. I just hope that with all the, you know, the crazy stuff that's coming up right now, I hope they don't end up canceling the show, you know?
Yeah. What's your gym situation down there in Tennessee right now?
When they did the reopening of the gyms, it was like their phase one deal. So like we've all been back in the gym for at least in the area that I live in. All the gyms opened back up probably the end of May or the beginning of June. So okay. I mean, the gyms have been open for a good little while.
Man. That's cool. Yeah. You've gotten over to Carbon Culture. Our Mr. Olympia's gym. Yeah, how is that place?
Yeah, I've gone over there. I went over there. Text Brandon, was like, "Hey, man, I want to come check the gym out," and went over there and checked it out. It's only about 30 minutes from where I'm at here.
Oh, nice!
But he's opening up another one, like 5 minutes down the road, man.
Oh, so no kidding! That'll be cool.
They got pushed back with the coronavirus stuff. I mean, it should have already been open, but they're going to be open, I'm assuming, here in the next couple of weeks.
Gotcha. So
it's wicked cool, man.
Yeah.
I mean, all really nice, top of the line Arsenal equipment. I mean, it's a pretty solid gym, man. I enjoy training there.
That'll be cool, man. So, you strike me as a guy who does this because you love training. It's like, that seems like, I've seen that in basically everyone that competes. It's like, you know, competing is great and everything, but training is really the number one. Am I right with that?
You're absolutely right, man. I mean, as much as it would suck at the end of the day if all these shows were to get canceled, you know, we're still be in the gym training every day, and I enjoy every bit of it, you know. So yeah, I'd have to agree with you. I love it. I live. It's what I wake up looking forward to every day, you know.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm going to jump in to shout out our great sponsors, and then we will get right back to the show. Also, I hope everybody's doing good. I hope if you're back in the gym grinding, more power to you. If you're still locked down, my heart is with you. And no matter where you're at, I hope everybody's being safe and that everybody is healthy right now. All right, so TrainNutrition.com. I've got an A, a B, and a C, and then we will cut out of that. So A, they are owned by Dante Trudell, one of the most honest people in our industry. Plus, the products are all third-party tested. So you're getting a high-quality supplement. B, they fantastic pricing. I mean, you're getting wholesale pricing. And then on top of that, if you're to order a protein powder, let's say you order 5 pounds, they add the flavoring after they measure out the protein. So you're really getting close to 6 pounds. You're not going to get 6 pounds of product from Dymatize. If you order 5 pounds, you get 5 pounds of product, period. That's just the way that it goes. And then C, they've partnered with us. So here's the deal. You buy stuff that you would have bought anyway, say their protein powder or fish oil, possibly, or maybe a performance supplement like the Abolic or the highly branched cyclic dextrin, the Mountain Dog formula, Perry MD. Any of the stuff that you would have bought anyway, if you buy it from True Nutrition and you use our code ADVICES, then it helps to support our programming. And I can keep the lights on here and I can keep podcasting. And I laugh, but that's dead serious. So TrueNutrition.com, use our code ADVICES to buy stuff that you would have bought anyway and support the programming. Okay, so I'm going to move on to Azoth. Get Azoth.com. Oh, somebody recently asked, how do you spell Azoth? It's A-Z-O-T-H. TH. I guess this stuff wasn't in the description in the iTunes, but it should have been. So hopefully we've got it all sorted out and it is there now. But Azoth, so this is a fantastic nootropic product. I've been using Azoth now since the jump, since they started. They're on Azoth 2.0 now. And they also have a couple other products that contain Zynamite, which is a dopamine reuptake inhibitor. What does dopamine do? Dopamine is that thing that makes you want more, to get more, to try harder, to dive in. It's basically, aggression isn't the right word, but it's that like go-to-itness that gives you that drive to get things done. And it keeps you on task. So this is basically what nootropics are there to do. They're there to A, kind of like keep you calm and ready and excited to do what you're going to do. And then to keep you on task, keep you focused, keep you sharp. That's basically, that's going to sum up what Azoth is. So check their stuff out. You can go to getazoth.com, A-Z-O-T-H, or go to the Amazon link in our notes. Either place, you can use our code ADVICES10 if you want to improve your edge in life. And as they say, quote, get shit done. Check them out and let me know what you think. All right, guys, let's get back to the program. Thanks for listening to me.
And then, and work-wise, I know you coach people. Do you do anything else, or is that your full-time job?
I transitioned into doing it full-time, man. I used to do insurance claims.
Okay.
And I was basically like a claims adjuster for residential homes. I did basically claims for like roof damage, stuff like that. And that was my full-time gig. And once my client base got up over about 25 clients, man, I decided that I was going to try to swing it full-time, and it's worked out, man. It's been good. You know, I love it. You probably know how it is. You can't put a price on being able to help people and make money and have free time and be able to train. And
yeah,
it's pretty awesome, you know.
I'll tell you what, though. For me, the scariest part was making that jump. Like, even though it added up, and I was like, okay, I can do this on the books. But that's a scary place to be, because you probably had, you know, a pretty stable career, you know, with what you're
doing before. Well, honestly, man, I took a pay cut in the beginning, and I was kind of freaked out too, because I'm like, if making less money gives me the freedom to do what I want to do, then I'm all for it, you know. But I'm thinking to myself, the first couple months, I'm like, man, am I going to be able to stay on top of my budget? You know, am I going to be able to pay all my bills and, you know, not go broke doing this in the beginning? And it just, it worked out, man. We had a good show year last year. I had a lot of guys compete last year, and I've continuously been able to pick up clients. I've been really lucky, man.
That's cool, man. And then I'm sure it gives you the time. You can wake up, do your cardio when you need to, check in with your people, have it basically on your schedule, train when you need to train, all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it, man. Dude. It's awesome. I got guys that are all getting ready to show too, because I don't know how it is up there in Michigan, or what the show season's like for like NPC level shows, but we had all our first half of the year shows canceled, man. So I had people that were prepping to do all these shows, and they kept getting canceled, pushed back, canceled, and we finally just got our first show of the year. It's the Tennessee State Show.
Okay.
It's for the title of Mr. Tennessee. It's one that I did last year. I ended up winning.
Okay.
Something I always wanted to do, but that's the first upcoming show. So there's tons of people that were going to do other shows earlier in the year that are doing that now, and it's supposed to be like a crazy stack show. Man, I've got 10 people doing that.
Yeah. That's going
to
be good.
I'm just like, man, I'm glad that I don't have to compete in it or do anything close to that, because it's like 4 weeks out.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't be able to keep up with everybody and do what I got to do, you know?
Yeah. So. We've got Michigan State Championships. They just approved it. They're going to do it outside, believe it or not.
I just saw something about that, man. Yeah,
we're going to put it in a tent.
For like social distancing or whatever.
Yeah, because they still have, so our gyms were supposed to open, and then they decided to pull back on that. And then they kept them shut down. They don't want us to like do big gatherings and all that. So yeah, they're going to have it held outside. It's going to be like limited seating, that type of thing. It's going to be in a tent. I guess I talked to the promoter. He's going to have like big cooling fans and stuff. So it, you know, we'll see. I'm just happy they could do it, you know?
Me too, man. I imagine it would be really tough, like being a guy up there, having to prepare for it with the gyms and stuff being closed. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a couple of people that were getting ready for the Michigan, and one of them has literally been training with like bands and a couple kettlebells, and that's it, you know.
Hey, but you got to respect that, man, because they're like, they're getting done still, you know.
Yeah, no
I kidding. Just, I know for me, you know how it is. Like, it's tough doing that.
Did you have options in the early part of your prep when things were still closed down? What were you doing?
I was very fortunate, man. I snuck into a couple gyms. Right. I never had to break out the bands, you know.
Yeah. So,
well, I was very lucky.
The one thing I have been, you know, trying to dig out here with everybody is, now I want to ask, what is the tough part for you? Because I'll tell you what, man, like just looking at your life, Evan, you've got a good life set up for bodybuilding right now. You know, like I said, you're on your own schedule. I mean, right now you're already in good shape. You're not having to do a ton of cardio. You seem like a really chill dude. Stress doesn't seem like it's part of your life. So I'm asking myself, like, it's never easy though. So what's the hard part?
It's probably the general consensus of what you're used to hearing, man. As of right now, man, it's not really bad at all with anything. I've noticed that like my energy levels are starting to kind of dwindle a little bit, and I've got days where I'm a little more tired and weight feels heavier, but it's not, you know how that is. That's just a normal thing. And like, it's like, you almost have to explain it to people that you're prepping and stuff. Hey, that's just, it's a part of it. It's normal.
Yeah.
Your body's going to fight with you a little bit, but it's not bad. I've got it pretty good right now. I feel okay. But I know for me, when I get real deep into it, man, and the food gets really, really tight and hunger sets in and the energy levels just aren't there, man, that's what I really struggle with, because it makes it a lot harder for me. Like, I'm going to stick to the diet and do what I got to do to get in shape.
Sure.
It's tough getting in the gym and training when your body's fighting with you, and, you know, you go from, say you go from pressing 150-pound dumbbells and you can barely pick up the hundreds or the 120s because energy's not there, you know.
Yeah.
The last 4 to 6 weeks, man, when we really start pulling the food down, I struggle with that big time. It's tough for me. Like, yeah, I'm like everybody else, man. I get a little irritable when I'm really hungry. I'm not right now, but
that's why we did
that. That makes it hard.
I figure I'd catch you now before you got too hungry.
Absolutely, man. Yeah.
No,
I think I'm in a decent spot, but I know there's going to come a point, man, where I'm going to have to suffer, man. Like,
yeah,
I know I'm going up against the big boys, so I'm going to do whatever I've got to do to make sure I'm in the best shape I've ever been in.
Yes, sir. So, now, if you know, if you say do well here, let's say that you didn't win your pro card, but let's say you did very well. Would you continue pushing on this season? Would you take that to, you know, would you hold off and do another show later? I mean, I know things are kind of spread out this year, but
I think I've got a pretty set in my heart. I mean, I've always liked the show. I had to think long and hard about which show I wanted to pick.
Okay.
Let's say, like, I show up and I get, you know, fifth, fourth, third. Like, let's say I get the first call-outs or even just get close enough to do well.
Yeah.
I think I would probably roll back into off season, man. And I would probably try to show back up, bring a better package to the same show next year. And
okay.
I've sat back and I've watched some of the guys I look up to, like, that have done that show or other shows where they keep hammering that same show, man, until eventually they just get it and they win, you know?
That's cool, man. That's
so
cool.
I feel like that would be my mentality. I'd want to see it through. If it's going to be possible, I want to do it with what I've decided and set my mind on I'm going to do, and that's North Americans. So
right on, man.
I may just have to come back next year, man, if it doesn't play out the way I want, and try to bring something better. So
that's like the old school mentality. That really is. Put all your eggs in one basket, be 110% for that one show, then walk away and learn everything you can from it, right?
Yeah. That's it, man. Like, I wouldn't want to try to bounce into another show or do, like, I guess the only other one for the rest of the year would probably be, you know, Nationals in Miami. But
it's going to be a while from now.
Yeah. I would probably just try to grow and improve, man, and come back.
Yeah, I guess especially with the way they're spread out, that would probably make the most sense, you know?
It's weird, too, man. Like, I actually had a show I was going to do as a warm-up show around here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not a big believer in fate or destiny or anything like that. I think that you work hard, do things you want to do, and make things happen. But I was going to do it as a warm-up, and I was excited about doing it, and it got canceled. I'm like, man, maybe it's not meant to. I'm qualified. Maybe it's not really meant to happen that way. Maybe that may not put me in a position to be my best at, you know, North America, so I can focus all my energy on that instead.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Now, in your previous contest seasons, well, I know you said when you first started out, you started out as a middle, and then you sucked down to lightweight that same season. But have you been have you been a guy who just does like one show per season usually, or how does that usually work for you?
Last year I just did one. Okay. It's funny that same show we're talking about. We've already brought it up a couple times in our conversation. That state show, Tennessee State Championships. I did that back in 2012, and it's a big thing around here. Like all the Tennessee guys will get it, but winning that Mr. Tennessee title, they've got this like wicked cool, looks like a Super Bowl ring, right?
Oh, no kidding.
That you get if you win the overall. And even back then, I was nowhere near equipped to win that show, man. I was a lightweight. And you know, when you're coming up, you don't really know. There's guys that have been doing this so much longer than you have. I wanted to win it. I was like, man, I want to be Mr. Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I showed up at it 2012, and I got second as a lightweight. Right. That's what I did last year. And the reason being was because I did it in 2018 and I won my class, but I got beaten the overall.
So you didn't get the ring.
I didn't get the ring. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to come back. And that's all I'm going to focus on for this entire next year.
Yeah.
And I came back and I won it and I got the ring.
But you got the ring.
That year before that, I had done a couple shows, man. I did three.
Really?
And I won two overalls at the show before state last year.
Okay.
And was like, but that wasn't the main focus. The main focus was winning that Super Bowl ring.
That's cool, man.
And or 2018. So
yeah, we don't have the ring here in Michigan, but the Michigan State Championships. It's like for a lot of the local guys, that's like our Olympia, basically. So I can relate to what you mean, man. That's cool.
That's awesome, man. I mean, and that's the thing is, it's all the guys that are local that live around. You know what it is.
Yeah.
And being able to say like you're the best guy or the best bodybuilder for that year at that show. You know what I mean? It's cool. Best bodybuilder in Michigan or best bodybuilder in Tennessee or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's prestigious. It's cool.
Yeah, so they would do stuff years ago, too. I remember going to Brighton Powerhouse, and they had a big banner on the wall. This was like 2009 or 2010, and they had a big banner that said, you know, Brighton Powerhouse, home of Erskine Presley, Mr. Michigan, 2009. It's like,
exactly, man. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So one of the local gyms I go to here is the same thing, man. It's got one, and it's the gym that Brandon used to train at before he had his own thing going on. He opened his own gyms, but there's a whole bunch of banners in the back. There's one that says "Home of Mr. Tennessee" for a couple guys that have won Mr. Tennessee.
That's cool.
Home of Mr. Olympia Brandon Curry.
Yeah.
And home of Flex Lewis from whenever he, I don't know if it was from winning the 212 division or something, because Flex used to train there too.
Oh, no kidding.
Huh. All these guys are from Murfreesboro, man. Yeah.
No kidding.
Brandon lives right down the street.
So you've interacted with him a lot. You've known him for a long time, I'm sure.
Since I was a kid, man.
No kidding, man. No kidding.
I watched him and Flex coming up and getting really good and becoming who they are now. That was kind of like my inspiration, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, they're awesome, man. I mean, they know everybody around here. They talk to everybody around here. It's pretty cool.
I like, you know what I like about Brandon is he's still a bodybuilder. He's still like an average guy. I mean, he might be our number one bodybuilder in the world, but he doesn't act like he's you know,
no, he doesn't,
better
man.
Than anybody else. He's just a cool dude, you know.
I love how humble Brandon is, man. He's the same guy that I knew as a kid when I would just come in and like, you're younger and like, you got somebody as good as him walking around the gym. People are like stopping and watching him train and stuff, and wanting to say what's up or get it, like the big things, like, can I get a picture with you, man?
Yeah.
You know, people will do that stuff. Brandon, even winning the Olympia title, man, he's the same guy that he's always been. He's super humble, super down to earth, would do anything for anybody. So
that's cool.
he's a cool guy, man. I mean, I text him. I'm like, hey, can I come train at your gym? And next thing you know, he like shows up. He's like, yeah, man, be there at this time. And
just
so I can check out the gym. He's super cool.
That's cool. I didn't realize you guys had so much good bodybuilding coming out of your area. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. There's some good guys down here, man.
That's cool.
I'm proud to be a part of it.
Where do you train at now? Give us a shout out to your gym.
I bounce back and forth, man. My main gym that I started training at from day one, I started training there right out of high school. It's called Olympus. Okay. That's the gym that we were talking about that Brandon and Flex both trained at, before they went off and have their own lives, doing their own thing. And then there's just the local Golds, man. They're franchise Golds, but they're really nice gyms. I like training there too, just because it's different scenery, change things up, you know. They've got plenty of weights. They've got some good arsenal equipment. So nice. I kind of like having the variety to bounce back and forth, man. And I, honestly, when Carbon opens over here, when Brandon gets that other gym open, I'll probably be training over there too, because it's like 5 minutes from the house. So.
Oh, that's perfect. You can't beat that, man. You're lucky.
No,
too.
Not at all.
It sounds like you've got a lot of really good, like, hardcore gym options in
there's
your
some,
area.
There's some really good facilities down here, man. There really is, you know.
Nice. And in what area?
It's almost like it's made for bodybuilding, right?
You wouldn't think that, like the middle of Tennessee, you know.
Yeah.
Where do you say Murfreesboro?
Murfreesboro, yeah.
All right. Gives me something to think about. Anybody who's
it's
driving
like,
through Tennessee.
30, yeah, it's like 30 minutes south of Nashville.
Oh, perfect. So, perfect.
Yeah.
Arsenal is in Tennessee, aren't they?
Arsenal is too, man. They're out in Knoxville. They've got their headquarters out there. I got a buddy that helps run their headquarters. And it's like it's not like an open gym to the public.
Yeah.
But you can go in there and train. It's really cool, man.
I've heard about it. Their showroom, right?
Yeah, it's their showroom, yeah. All like this really squeaky clean equipment that looks like somebody comes through and like cleans it every day, you know.
Wow, that's cool, man. Have you had a chance to train out there?
I've been out there one time, but I actually haven't been able to go in there and actually train.
Okay,
so,
right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, do me a favor. Plug everything that, you know, your Instagram. We'll have that down in the show notes.
Big.E_89.
Yeah, we'll have that in the description and everything else. Anywhere else people can follow along?
That's my main thing on social media, man. I don't really do Facebook a lot. I do that to keep up with family and friends.
Yeah.
Just so much crazy stuff on there right now. I don't want to see all that stuff, you know.
Dude, I think we're all in that boat.
I try to like deflect all that stuff out of my reality, you know, try to focus on the stuff that is positive. So
Yeah, that makes
sense. It's all crazy stuff.
And shout out to Turner Riddle. How often do you guys check in together?
Man, I probably talk to Turner every day of the week, man, honestly.
Because you said you're friends with
him. We've got a little different relationship than just a client-coach relationship. I mean, it used to be like that when we first got together, but we've been through a lot, man. So, I mean, I text him or he'll text me and tell me something crazy that happened during his day or – you know, we talk a lot. I probably talk to him every other day of the week. So
that's cool, man. All right. Yeah. Well, guys, for another episode here of our Road to North Americans with Evan Revoir. Brother, I appreciate your time, man, and I wish you the best of luck at this show.
Thanks for having me, Scott. I really appreciate it, man.
Absolutely.